This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome, everyone, to the final day of this week of the Damage Report. I'm John Arola. It's a Friday, which means Brett Ehrlich is in the house. How's it going, Brett Ehrlich?
What up? It's not just that. It is not just that it's a Friday, John. Do you know when you were born?
It's just a Friday. I know. It's really nice of you.
Do you know? Does everyone know? Because not everyone knows. No, not everyone's born knowing John's birthday, but it's basically John's birthday today.
It's not. It's tomorrow. Thank you. No, it's very nice of you to acknowledge it. And everyone is really nice to celebrate my 10-year anniversary. But this is basically like if your birthday was the day after Christmas. I know. Ridiculous.
We forgot to buy cupcakes.
We forgot to buy cupcakes.
We do this every year, John. So it's your turn to turn to your left and burn and blow out the candle. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you.
That was actually well done. Thank you, Brooke, off camera, I'm assuming. You guys are ridiculous. Okay, thank you.
I've never been that stressed out because I was like, he isn't blowing the candle yet.
He looked like he was doing and it.
I can see she's breathing in. It's coming.
Anyway, thank you. Do you think we just use lungs around here, John? You got the industrial strength treatment here. You got the duster.
Was she not confident she could blow out the candle?
There's a whole bunch of crap
here.
COVID
lung? Okay.
Well, listen, she's weak. She's a weak young person. I got you a present. So first of all, John's birthday, everyone. I got you a present. I was like, what's the perfect present for John? Mm-hmm. And I thought that right before the show started, so it was too late. So in exchange, here's a photo of me from 10 years ago, if you want it. It's kind of fallen down because it's been in the garage. So you might have to like.
Is that the perfect present? I don't know. All I know is I wanted something that would be a cast off from your garage.
Yeah.
So thank you. Very nice of you. Okay.
Anyways, cheers, John. Happy birthday.
Here's the thing. So that's very nice of you. I am going to die though, because there was a very nice breakfast sent to the studio this morning, which was French toast and what looked like an industrial strength cinnamon bun cake. It's very nice of you to send it. But what you need to understand is I got home yesterday, and we'll make this brief because I know we're ostensibly supposed to talk about the news, and we'll do that eventually. I got home last night or yesterday after work, and there were two boxes from Amazon for me, which I thought was weird because I hadn't ordered anything. So I open up the first one, the small box, and it's a box of Pop-Tarts. But it's like wrapped kind of weird, and the box was a little bit raggedy. And so I thought, oh no, someone has discovered my address and they're trying to lure me into eating something they've injected with some sort of poison. So I set that aside, considering still eating it. The big box though, I opened up and it was every Pop-Tart that has ever existed. Box after box after box. And so I thought, is Bart trolling me or something? No, it's my mom. She wants to kill me. My blood is going to be the consistency of the center of a brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart after I eat all these.
The funniest thing about this to me is the given in this that wouldn't be assumed by other people, but that is John like won't just be able to eat one when he starts. That's what he's not telling you. He knows. It's like most people be like, oh, so every day until these expire, I'll have a Pop-Tart. But John knows. In a man who had Donut Tower on his desk, it'll just get away from him. I'm the same way with Goldfish crackers. Like I'll get that big carton and be like, yeah, I'll just take a bite. And then it's just like,
by the way, I love the idea, even for comedic purposes, that Pop-Tarts could ever expire. That's hilarious. Anyway, so I'm gonna die. No, I'm bringing some in. People are gonna need to help me with this because I might die. Anyway, thank you for that acknowledgement. It's not like it's one of those big, like, okay, next year it's a big transition year, I guess. When you turn 30 and you enter your 30s, that's a big one. But 29 is like a relatively minor thing. I don't think we should be freaking out about it. So anyway, thank you for that though. Boomer. And thank you everyone for being here to close out the week. We've got some fun for you pretty much throughout actually. Sophie, you can take many of those Pop-Tarts actually. They have tropical mango. Did you know that? I did not know that. Peach cobbler. Did you know that? I now know that because I've eaten it recently. Anyway, we've got fun throughout, including of course, the throwing away of the garbage, which is one of the many things I forgot in the now 2 minute transition period we have between shows. We're gonna be throwing out our garbage people of the week and finding out who your garbage person of the week is. So lots of fun all around. We've got robots, we've got vandalism of hate speech, we've got the worst TikTok trends, we've got all sorts of stuff. Hopefully what you've got is the capacity and will to click the like button and share the stream because that would be awesome. And with all that said, Brett Ehrlich, are you ready to talk about some news?
Yeah, until that shot kicks in, sure. I took a birthday shot. I don't know if you were paying attention.
Oh, it was not
a good idea.
You're talking about like Pfizer or something. Anyway, he gets boosted every day. He takes it very seriously. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into this.
So Peter, how will the White House spin this? If it is true, as ADP, the paycheck cutter is suggesting, it could be a loss of 300,000 jobs. How is the White House gonna put a happy face on that?
If past is precedent, and usually at the White House it is, he'll come out and he'll say this is just proof that people need to get vaccinated. And he'll say that they've still created more jobs in a year than any president ever, but that this is an extraordinary time because of COVID and they wanna just, and you know what? He'll probably also, if it goes the way that the last few of these things have gone, push for the Build Back Better plan because they use that as a catch-all. Right. It's going to create jobs. It's going to lower inflation. That's the only way to get anything better.
So, Peter, what vaccine do you get for job loss?
I think it's in the trials still.
Okay, good. Yeah, Pfizer's working on it.
That is like one of, other than Joe Rogan and The View, the biggest political show on the planet, Brett. And they were like giddy, like, what's he gonna do if a bunch of people lost their jobs? And younger Ducey at first was sort of keeping it together. Well, I think that they'll come out and say people should get vaccinated. And then I think they would point to the Build Back Better. And did Gutfeld say that it's like Rain Man to them?
Was that Gutfeld?
They just say it all the time.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Or Kilmeade, I get the mix up. Kilmeade, didn't he say that?
Yes.
What is wrong with that?
It is stupid. That is like saying, if there's a fire, pretty soon they're gonna ask us to like put water on it. Like, there's tons of things in the Build Back Better plan that are for jobs, that will create
jobs.
Definitely
would.
Yeah, but very obviously that misses the absolute fantastic payoff of this story.
Oh, exactly. Well, we'll get to that in one sec. But he also was like, well, they'll point to how they got more jobs ever. Well, but so is that? True, because that seems significant then. Like, why are you glossing over that? But anyway, they're just so giddy at the possibility that 400,000 people would have lost their jobs in the last month. But of course, that isn't what happened. Although we did have enough time for Sean Spicer to jump in on this, tweeting, the White House spin on tomorrow's jobs report will be fun. Well, was it fun? Because to jump ahead, the economy actually gained 467,000 jobs in January. And the unemployment rate stayed relatively flat, rising slightly to 4% from 3.9%, according to the new monthly blah, blah, blah from the blah, blah, blah. And here's the thing, Brett, we would never cover this if they wouldn't be so weird about it. Like, I never know how much of any of this can be attributed to the president or the White House or all of it. So we don't generally cover it, whether it's good or bad, Democrat or Republican. But they are so clearly trying to make this into a partisan thing where they can dunk on the Biden administration, albeit with the broken eggs of that omelet being hundreds of thousands of jobs in the fantasy that they've cooked up.
Right. That's absolutely the most hilarious thing to me is when the economy was in a tailspin thanks to COVID and let's not forget the wild mismanagement of the early days of the pandemic at the hands of the Trump administration. People on Fox were just like so pearl clutching going, how dare you on the left revel in the success your presidential candidate might reap as a result of people dying. Like they would say, oh, you guys are almost giddy that bad things are happening. That is almost giddy. They are way past giddy. They are miles past giddy. The other thing I will point out is, you know, if Fox News is going to say, oh my God, what jobs plan is Biden going to push for? Build back better. Let's talk about the jobs plan they use at Fox. Are we going to suggest their jobs plan? Because Peter Doocy is Steve Doocy's kid, the offspring of the fascist Muppet himself, the one who's not quite as bad at Kill Me, but they both are like part felt and the other part googly eyes.
Some great things are a combination of those two. Actually, you've made many of those things in the past. Anyway, just to give you, because again, we don't normally cover these things because for multiple reasons. One, I don't think that they can be as cleanly attributed to administrations as those administrations would have you believe when the numbers are good. When the numbers are bad, it's totally just context. It doesn't have anything to do with them. I don't know how much it ever does. And by the way, the sort of raw aggregations of jobs misses so much about the substance of the jobs that are being gained versus the jobs that might have been lost previously. What are the actual situations in terms of wages and benefits and what sectors are like? There's huge issues. And demographically, how are the new jobs being like? Is it a representative swath of all of America or is it now all? It's more complicated than they would have you believe. But that said, here are some numbers. You can see here the 467,000 jobs plotted against some other months. And it has been a lot of jobs over the course of the past 13 months. Last 13 months has been a lot of jobs. Of course, it is coming after a year of a horrific pandemic. So you would expect that there would be more hiring too. So again, I don't know how much can be given to him. Honestly, the 467,000 jobs is a surprise when they had been saying they thought it would be -300,000 to -400,000. So that's a huge swing. But also, the report revised the number of jobs that had been added in December. We thought it was 199,000. The actual number was 510,000. How could the numbers be off by that much? That's a huge difference in those two things. So that's like almost a total of 1 million jobs, give or take, over 2 months that we thought maybe had been gained versus how many had actually been gained. I think all of this is more an art than a science, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. They never tell you who's entered and left the labor market. They don't tell you, as you were kind of indicating, like the quality of these jobs. Are they full-time? Are they part-time? As we know, the unemployment rate has to do with people who are actively seeking jobs and people that are in the labor market, discounting. It depends on which one they're using, like all kinds of frictional unemployment that they're just like, people will be in a job in a second. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the full takeaway, but I love this weird football spiking and goalpost like establishment the day before. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I love every time they do it because they didn't have to count these chickens before they hatch. The more you think about it, the more you realize that Fox News, Fox and Friends really had nothing to talk about that day. Mm-hmm. This is a story about tomorrow's story. And they were that confident in it. So I would tell the rest of their audience, like they would not have told, they told you a story about tomorrow's story, maybe based on reporting from ADT or whoever, whichever one, ADP or whoever gives you your checks.
The paycheck thing,
if they were not wildly confident in it. Yeah, and that totally. Level of confidence, there's stuff that there's bets they hedge on their normal reporting as they're like, well, this hasn't come out yet. But they did not hedge any of those bets. They were doing a little happy dance, but they fumbled before they crossed the end line. goal line.
Yeah, and so I would.
I do like football.
You know football more than me. So I would ask then, if you were pretty confident that you were going to be right and that you were trying to tie it to political stuff, you were trying to say like, oh, they'll say we need vaccinations, or oh, they think that like putting money into the economy is a good way to make jobs. Oh, how wrong are they going to be? Okay, well, you were wrong. So why were you wrong? And specifically, what were you wrong about? And what are you gonna do going forward that's gonna make you less wrong? Because you were wrong. I'm guessing there will be no change whatsoever. That's what's so shallow about all of these conversations. But anyway, it's just frustrating. And by the way, I'm on FoxNews.com. I've checked in multiple times throughout the morning. This is amazing news for the American economy. I guess, I don't know, based on the front page of Fox News, because I am scrolling all over and I can't find an indication that this is not amazing economic news. And again, like, it's not like there's no way they could jujitsu their way through this and maintain the narrative they want. Just say it has nothing to do with Biden, but good, it's good news. But the thing is, it isn't just that they don't want you to credit Biden. They don't want you to be happy or confident or secure. And I'm not even saying that you should be based on this information, because that is hardly the sum total of the economy, let alone how it affects any individual American family. But they will whitewash away an entire year of job growth just for the fear that it might make people a little bit less terrified about the future.
And being wrong just doesn't matter to them. And it doesn't matter in the grand scheme to their viewers, because they'll just move on. They don't feel the need to make a correction or say, sorry, yesterday we did this, let's have a moment. No, it doesn't matter. They just move on and will do the same thing to another story, being wrong after the fact or before the fact or during the fact in new and creative ways while drinking giant cups of coffee.
I'm fine with the last part. I assumed when we were planning the damage report early on that there was going to be more coffee on it, but I've never felt comfortable drinking on camera. We really need to change that. How do the Morning Joe people do that? That's like their one big skill.
I have already anyway, had a shot of whiskey on camera today, so obviously
you
that ship has
sushi
sailed.
Sushi right before, like you eat the weirdest things.
Those are my favorite rules. They're like, it's too early for this rule. It's like, well, let me remind you, I'm an animal wearing clothes, so.
That's flying through space on a rock. I get that. It's a little bit the morning thing. It's a little bit that you're eating sushi on camera on a news show. That seems weird. Anyway, we are miles past giddy, and so we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna go read some of your comments, but we've got way more where that came from, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Let's talk about some news. Gitter is in a bit of trouble. This is the right-wing focused social media site that the former Trump guy Jason Miller launched. Well, insiders are now leaking information that it's being run, get this, poorly. Almost as if the people in charge don't know what they're doing at all. Nobody could have predicted it. Nobody did. Anyway, three former employees of Getter said that the pro-Trump site may be vulnerable to security threats after 13 staff members, including the company's chief information officer and chief information security officer, were laid off less than 3 months after they were hired. Now, that is not necessarily that terrible. Maybe they were bad at their jobs. They were hired by Jason Miller. They almost certainly were. The issue is that they haven't been replaced. I don't know much about apps or social media platforms or anything, but I think that if you like initially hire chief security officers, it's because you think you need it for something and you should replace it. Like if pipes go bad in your house, they were probably there for something. I feel like you should replace it with a new pipe. Brett, what do you think? Maybe you know more about business than me.
Oh, I love it. I love stories like this. It's like, you know what? It's kind of a cynicism test. You look at the way things are happening, you see a news peg, you're like, maybe I'm just too cynical. Maybe the people who run this are career people who know what they're doing and it's gonna be run well. Maybe I'm the a-hole. and then you see that every single one of your suspicions panned out. Like, I probably had the same confidence about Getter being horribly run and a total grift. About the same level of confidence as Ducey had saying the jobs report's gonna be bad tomorrow. The difference was I'm right. When they're like going and poaching Nunes to run a social media company, and he just lost a lawsuit to a fictional cow. Like, you might be running your thing wrong. Like, it's all you might be a redneck jokes about people who are on Getter.
It's you might be right to be biased. We gotta set that up as a segment. Anyway, let's give you some more information. So this is a former top employee. I don't know if it's one of those positions that we listed. It's anonymous. They spoke with Insider. They said, in all honesty, in all my years of doing cybersecurity, I've never seen a company this poorly run from business operations all the way to IT. It looks like a high school operation. And somewhere in Florida, Matt Gaetz's ears just perked up. Anyway,
Get her.
Anyway, so up until now, like, you probably aren't that familiar with Getter unless you're a right winger fleeing Twitter or you're like a post left liberal just dabbling in other platforms. Anyway, up until now, Getter's most prolific users include former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, which is a big get. Fox News host Sean Hannity and Joe Rogan, who earlier this year slammed the platform and accused it of boosting his follower count. What does that mean? Well, he had more than 9 million followers on Getter, whereas Getter only has 4.5 million people who use it. So that's weird. Anyway, why did all this happen? Well, some sources are saying that it can be attributed to the former the exiled Chinese billionaire investor Guo Wengui, who launched several media ventures in the US with Steve Bannon. So another weird, from the right wing point of view, this is such a weird aspect of this story. Anyway, he provided early funding for that platform, for Getter, but he's not a direct investor. He doesn't have any formal role, any job in the position, but insiders say that he is still involved for some reason in staffing decisions.
That, I just want to say, a great category. So one that people I know have benefited from, no one here, but people I know have benefited from insanely by being smart is dumb money, is passion projects of the rich and famous. And that is exactly what Getter is. So you'll get barnacles trying to get stock for when the IPO happens, because the only thing that this has going for it is that Trump's peeps are behind it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, in a world of social media where so much of it is BS, unmeasurable, inflated, fake numbers, this one has one little tiny bit of differentiating value proposition, which is it has all the people who are like, let's get rid of Twitter and let's call it Getter, because and they don't even understand that the ones who founded this, the Steve Bannons and all of the people who are hired at the highest levels, think you're an idiot. They think the users are so stupid, and they are the elitists. And in an attempt to shirk the censorious left and the censorious big tech bubble, they run to Getter, which explicitly says, I don't know if it's Getter or the Trump one. I don't know if there is any difference, but they go to platforms and say, you can't make fun of us on this.
I know. So you have freedom to a point, except you can't call us dumb. You can't bring up a fictional cow.
And the last tiny thing is they make fun of other people for creating this social media bubble, when really Getter is creating its own fantasy world where Joe Rogan has more followers on the platform than there are people on the platform. Mm-hmm. Can't get more fictional than that.
They desperately want to seem like it's working, so they lie. It's a weird thing. Generally, people on these platforms inflate their followings. Generally, I don't think it's the platforms that are supposed to do it. But anyway, you raised a good point. Places like Getter, places like the upcoming Truth Social, their whole thing is we're gonna be better than Twitter, which has been so mean to you conservatives. They censor all of your awesome opinions. We won't do that. Well, that's what they say. But is that how it's gonna actually function? I mean, we already know with some things like on these, you're not allowed to criticize the Donald Trump, the platform itself, the executives of the platform. But also, When Truth Social launches later this quarter, the Trump Media and Technology Group social media platform will already have stringent content moderation practices in place to ensure it's a quote, family-friendly online community, according to company CEO and guy who got dunked on by a cow that doesn't exist, Devin Nunes. He says, "We want to be very family friendly. We want this to be a very safe place, and we are focused on making sure any illegal content is not on the site." So he tried to make it seem as if it's just about stopping illegal stuff from happening, which one could still say, "I thought we were free. I thought you weren't censoring me. Who are you to decide what's illegal to say or share or whatever?" But fine, they'll make it like it's about that. But the firm that they hired, I think it's called Hive, to manage this process, they say that their artificial intelligence automatically filters posts featuring nudity, drugs, violence, hate speech, spam, and bullying, but won't block political talk or misinformation. Because as we all know, there has never once been any crossover between political talk and misinformation with hate speech, spam, bullying, calls to violence, or anything like that. What do you mean? You can't talk about drugs? Drugs are a political issue. There's misinformation about drugs. How is this supposed to work in practice?
I love it. It's so stupid. It's like, it's the way I feel about people yelling about masks and vaccinations, and it's the same way I feel about people talking about social media companies. It's like those rules that exist on those social media companies exist for a reason. And what better way for you guys to find out the reason that they exist than by going off and starting your own social media company? They're going to realize that the reason that a lot of these restrictions are in place are exactly going to drive them to put those restrictions in place on the new platform. It's so stupid. It's like people saying, "I'm going to create a whole new car, and then there's not going to be any seat belts, and then people get in crashes and they die." And you'll be like, "You know what? I'm going to put this belt on here to keep you in your seat." I'm not calling it a seat belt, but it's the same damn thing, because you've got to have something in there like that for all kinds of reasons, some of which are practical, others of which are going to be cynically your profit motive, which you need to like. That's what you're going to end up gravitating toward, because that's why you got in this in the first place, for some kind of personal gain, not to make the world a better place. The reason Devin Nunes got into politics isn't to change the world; it's to get power and money. And the reason he went over to Gitter Truth Social, or whatever the hell it is to get cash. That's it. 100%. And you're going to do whatever you can to secure that.
Yeah, whether it succeeds or fails, he will get money. So he's, you know, Truth Social, which, by the way, Truth Social is coming in less than 3 weeks, supposedly. Okay. That's what they say. I mean, it might fail 2 weeks after that, but get ready because it's coming. By the way, really fast, I just want to acknowledge Andrew in the YouTube chat says Devin Nunes is like if Michael Scott from The Office were crossed with one of Mussolini's lackeys, which I think is true, but it's also, I think, true. What if you were Michael Scott and Dwight Schrute at the exact same time? I feel like you would be Devin Nunes at that point.
I want to shout out the electricians for saying, "Don't call it a seatbelt, call it a freedom strap." That's what they'll do.
That's good. I like that. So we're gonna jump into a topic that, look, it's my show. That's what it is. Are you gonna leave? Are you really gonna leave? I don't think you're gonna leave. We're gonna talk about this. You're gonna understand in about a second. Let's do it. There's a big issue with the mail service's plans to renovate and update their fleet of vehicles. Actually, multiple issues. So let's start from the beginning. Last February, the Louis DeJoy-led USPS awarded a 10-year contract to produce vehicles to Oshkosh Defense. They were to produce up to 165,000 trucks, the largest effort in literally decades to replace the aging fleet of the post office. Oshkosh plans to produce the vehicles in South Carolina, a state with some of the most anti-union labor laws in the country. So that's a big issue. That's not the biggest issue, though, nor the fact that they were chosen rather than, the Workhorse Group, which produces electric vehicles and is based in Cincinnati. So they decided to go with Oshkosh Defense. What are we, invading the mail? Anyway, that's not the issue. The big issue also isn't that they look like, what if a vehicle was frumpy? Let's take a look at this. It's just, it's fine.
It's Toy Story 1, dude. That's
why
where this
is
was
it a
made.
Character from Cars?
This was designed in Pixar in 2000, maybe 1995.
But that's what it's gonna look like, I get. But that's not the big issue. Let's be clear. The big issue is climate. You think it's all? It looks apologetic. Like, I know I'm not cool.
Even its eyebrows is like, this is what I look like.
It looked surprised. It looked in the mirror for the first time. Anyway, that isn't the big issue. Here is the big issue. When the USPS first announced this contract back in February of last year, it said that the plan was to purchase between 50,000 and 160,000 next generation delivery vehicles, which first of all is a massive range to declare, but whatever, we'll leave that aside. These vehicles, we were told, would be a mixed fleet. Some would be battery electric vehicles, which obviously we want as many as possible. Others used quote, fuel efficient internal combustion engines with an ability to be converted at a later date, quote, to keep pace with advances in electric vehicle technology. Okay, so you got a mix of more efficient internal combustion engine vehicles, but don't even worry because someday those can be turned into hybrids or replaced with electric systems. And a bunch will also be electric. All of what they said is in theory maybe true, but there's not a lot of evidence of much of it. And a lot of what we found out since is really bad. So let's see, 10% will be electric. It's 2022. These are gonna be produced over years. 10% will be electric. The ones that aren't electric do though have those new higher fuel efficiency engines, which give them 8.6 miles per gallon. The current one's 8.2. That's not that much better. I shouldn't need to point that out. And by the way, there is no plan in place to replace those eventually with electric ones. So that seems to have been a clear lie. And the rest of it is like they're gonna spend so much money and this opportunity to change the mail service to get 0.4 more miles per gallon average while producing these in a state that's gonna crush any union effort. Brett, what do you think?
Why does it need to look like this? Like,
if it was gonna look like that, it should be electric at least.
So like, how much do Amazon delivery trucks get per gallon? Is it 8.6 miles a gallon? I'll say this, odds. So actually, the more I think about it, 8.6 miles per gallon, it only goes, it's not doing much open road cruising, let's put it that way. Like you're going and stopping and going and stopping. You're always in first gear. You're always like screaming the engine to get this heavy thing going. But I feel like there's gotta be a better way to do it. I understand the current, I like being able to upgrade it, but it's just, it screams
but again,
to me.
They don't have a plan for that.
They don't have a plan. And so that's the more disturbing issue is the messaging and the opportunism people use when talking about something that is actually a service that theoretically works and is run by the government in America. But like, it's just to stop taking advantage of the post office to make your political points and to score political points. And most importantly, to siphon taxpayer, and yes, that includes stamps, dollars away from people and towards your giant friends in your quote right to work state, which is wrong for work, except in very specific circumstances that have proven themselves to be extraordinarily rare.
Yeah, I hope that you're right. I hope that he's at least getting money off of this because it feels like he goes into work and he says, what can I do to screw these people over? That's what it feels like.
I mean, he's Judge Doom from Roger Rabbit. I bought the red car so I could dismantle it and build a freeway. Like when the guy's personal financial interests are so reportedly seated in the success of competitors to this industry this organization that he's running, like I feel like I'm not a conspiracy theorist when I determine that all these initiatives seem to sabotage the very organization he's entrusted with running for our benefit. Because as Joe Rogan even proved to Dave Rubin, like post office goes places that those private deliverers don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's the sort of places that conservatives love to pretend that they care about. Anyway, DeJoy is saying he's not gonna resign. He says he intends to remain head of the Postal Service for a long time where he can continue screwing over the vehicles, screwing over communities that'll have more pollution, screwing over our effort to deal with climate change, while also making mail delivery slower and more expensive. So that's cool. By the way, I looked it up. Amazon back in 2020 purchased or put in an order for 100,000 electric delivery trucks from Rivian. I don't know what the effective mile per gallon out of that is or how quickly those will be put into effect, but that's the idea, that they will be doing more electric. And by the way, super last point, let's not talk anymore about this. They can't replace every single one with an electric vehicle as of right now. I get that. There are some routes that are incredibly long in rural, you know, areas and those sorts of things. But it could be 90-10 the other way. We could at least work towards that. This is so, it's almost as if doing the electric thing would be admitting that a better world is possible and they just don't want to do it. Anyway, with that said, we're going to go into our second break. When we come back, we're going to turn from electric vehicles to robot dogs after this. Okay, so we do have more news to get to everyone. It's gonna get a little bit freaky, and I am going to make you watch some video of someone that you probably would prefer not to have to see, but hey, you signed up to watch the show, so you've made bad decisions too. So with that said, let's jump into this video. Okay, so that's a little bit weird, right? And then it gets sort of, did anyone else think it was ominous as it gets closer and the noise is bow, 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 it's getting louder as it hunts you? Well, the issue is that it's even scarier than it looks because those are being tested to patrol the border. The US says they're using these robotic patrol dogs along its frontier with Mexico that it says could provide mechanical reinforcements for border guards. In a move criticized by a leading domestic rights group as a civil liberties disaster. We'll talk more about the robots, but Brett, what was your reaction?
I think the creepiest thing about it is that it gets quieter as it gets closer. Like when it was like in the ocean, it was like plop, 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 plop. It sounded like a dog drinking. But then it actually got quieter as it got closer. That's the dissonance for me. Oh my God, you should be louder. Also, when it is walking around, it looks like it's just searching for its head. Like it looks like it should have a head and it's searching for it. And that's the lore. It's like it used to have a head and now it just roams the border at night looking for its head or yours.
Maybe that's sort of the fear. And so the company that developed the dogs is Ghost Robotics. So not scary or anything. They've previously showcased a four-legged robot that has a sniper rifle attached to its back. And if that seems scary, take a look at the photo. Imagine this thing coming at you. It has like this integrated sniper rifle in it. Now that is not the one that's patrolling on the border today, but they do want these what they call robot dogs to do this. Hey, can we stop for 1 second? Should we refuse to refer to them as dogs? Because I feel like that's just propaganda. Because we like dogs, so like why aren't these like robotic jaguars or robotic warthogs? No, but that's scarier. Dogs are comforting. We have affection for dogs. They're man's best friend. This is only ICE's best friend, the beep border patrol's best friend. They're not our best friend.
Exactly.
Animals are innocent. Those are not.
Right, it's less like a pet dog because dogs bite you. But this with the thing on its head, it's basically like all the tigers in Joe Exotic's zoo. It's like, like I'm picturing all the people who worked on it and they're like, yeah, this is totally fine, never goes wrong. But then when they're doing their interview, they're missing limbs. Like I'd like to talk to the innovators behind true, it. Yeah. This looks like one of those videos you see on Reddit where like it doesn't look like it, but it reminds me of those videos where you see someone driving really fast. It's shot from like a high rise You see someone driving really fast, and then the camera pans over and there's a cliff. And the camera just goes back and forth between those two things. Mm-hmm. And this is America and the Department of Homeland Security essentially just barreling toward a cliff of sentient robots that turn on us. It's like, this is, you're walking right into it. And I can see it, and everyone watching it can see it, but you guys lack the perspective because, and this is a quote from me, you're so preoccupied with whether or not you could, you didn't stop to think if you should.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, people are saying it reminds them of the thing from Black Mirror. Totally, I think that's what that episode is based on. It reminds me a little bit of Screamers. Anyone remember Screamers from back in like the 80s? Yeah, I just, like, you're totally right that we can worry about the slippery slope of this. But let's also bear in mind, we should be worried now, because this thing does not need to develop sentience for us to have an issue with an army of these being controlled. I'm almost more worried about humans being in control of this. Maybe we can get a little bit more sort of raw logical, like, empathy out of a robot than a human, but they're like, it's going to cost a ton of money. It is not going to lead to more humane outcomes for the people involved. And it also, it advances the idea that the situation with migration and border crossings is not a complex consequence of a lot of things, domestic policies in those countries, our own influence over them, the desire of individuals to have a better life. No, it is something that needs to be secured and patrolled like the outside of a prison. That's what it feels like to me. So anyway, and also with the combination of cryptocurrency, NFTs, and now this, I am worried that I am going to turn into like a radical anti-tech person, which I never saw coming. I've always loved technology, but it really does seem like it's going down all the wrong roads.
Right, but at the same time, you're streaming delightful video. You're benefiting from your whatever your car is made of, tiny microchips. I don't know,
plastic,
but like you're benefiting from technology. That's something you just have to remind yourself. Like technology, it's all there's that's such a huge term that just like with social media and anything, if you fixate on the wrong parts of it or the bad parts of it, that's different from ignoring it completely. But if you fixate on it and you kind of that gets you down because that's all you're looking at, then yes, it's bad.
Yeah,
but honestly, John, let me tell you about NFTs and how they're the future.
No, I would prefer not. Okay, so before we jump into our last story of the hour, I'm gonna catch up on a few of these comments. Let's see. May Money to Building says, hey, May Money says, happy birthday, John. Your mom stole my gift idea. I also agree, 29 is very meh. I turned 30 this year, weird. Have a great B-Day weekend. Well, thank
you. Just let it go, John. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. Just let it pretend.
Brett, do you...
I'm gonna turn 30 in March.
Do you ever start to get like mad when you think about really young people? Like I did the show yesterday with Sabrina, and Jared and I were talking about birthdays because his birthday just happened, and how he was surprised at how old I was. And then I said, yeah, and I think about like people that do like the same thing, like Sabrina, who's like 17 or something. Do you ever like get mad, like how dare they? No,
I don't. I should. I'm surprised that I don't, because we're working. You know, I met a lot of like young, vibrant humans. Like, late, you know, we have producers that are coming in. They're just getting started in their careers, and I should dislike them because they have their stuff way more together than I did when I came out of college in my first job. I should be angry and spiteful, but. You know, you gotta view your life in the light of the sunset and learn to pass the eternal recurrence test. You really have to like
Blade Runner.
I don't know. It's
I think you're. Are you Blade Runnering me?
Maybe.
Anyway, and no, I did not, or I'm not about to turn 40. I can say that and refuse to say anything else. Anyway, with all that said, I will find a way to drain the life force from people younger than me. I'm working on the technology, and I think I can make it happen. Combination of tech and magic, whatever it takes. Anyway, with that said, everyone, thank you for being so nice to me today. You've all given me the present of your welcome. I've got a present for you. Take a look at this video. So that's a throwback for you, obviously. That was Marie Newman putting up her sign or her flag there. It was the transgender flag. She has a transgender child. It was, you know, an act of pride and acceptance, to which obviously was responded to by Marjorie Greene with her hate speech, "I like the science" sign. Well, anyway, that sign has apparently been through rough times, as Marjorie Greene will make clear in this new video.
So this is the first one. This is the first sign that we had. And the first time they vandalized it, you can see the type of vandalizing that took place. It was "Free Palestine." Here's the sticker they had to sit on here. And they put this one, Matthew 7:21-23. And they of course put in bold the "I never knew you." This is talking about verses from Jesus. And he's talking about people. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" This week, they started with this. So they put this one up earlier this week. "True disciples of Christ don't say things you say, act the way you act, and treat people the way you treat people." Well, that's really interesting. So I wrote a little note back to them about how God created them male and female. And in his image, he created them. And I put a little heart, MTG.
I would honestly rather have her accost me on the street than have to listen to her muddle her way through reading something. And then I put a heart. It's your sign. We know that it's you. Also, you're covering up part of your sign with your new note. I thought that was the vandalism. So anyway, she, in all that time since that first video we showed you, she has had that sign out there and has had Simon Simonson make multiple copies. Each time one gets damaged, she makes another, because she is so committed to making sure that any individual that walks through that hallway knows that she hates transgender individuals. That is the whole point. She will spend taxpayer dollars to make sure that you know that. Now, why would Simon Simonson even print that up? I don't understand it. Does he agree with her message?
She needs to say there's PPs and VJJs. That's the only science. And there's things that are both versions of that at the same time. And if God created all of us, God created Turner syndrome, God created intersex human beings, and she's denying that. She's calling God's creation a mistake. God did not create the English language. God did not create the concept of gender. God created, according to her, people and the ability for people to reproduce. And that's it. And everything that's happened since there has happened since there. And if you say that it's God's plan, well, then it's created all these people. And you get to jump in and say good and evil, but even on the merits of your own argument, like, that's not true. There's all kinds of different genitals out there.
Yeah, well, and look, you're talking about some sort of like biological underpinnings, but also, as you alluded to, we're talking about gender. And so why did God create a variety of different gender expressions and identities across all times, across all civilizations? Why would he do that? Are you implying, Marjorie Greene, that he created our brains wrong? That the fact that we have a variety of different ways that gender can express itself, and that is universal across all human civilizations, that there was something fundamentally wrong there? Or are you saying, okay, no, I get that it's there, but you shouldn't be free to say it. I think that you should not be free in that way. I would like to cancel your identity. I mean, that's in effect what she is doing. She doesn't explain which it's wrong. Is it that God fundamentally made a mistake, or she thinks that she's superior to God and she should be able to correct his flaws? But anyway, the big issue here is the constant provocation, the hatred being displayed in the halls of Congress. We should be better than this. We are most certainly not better than this as a society, but we're working on it. I would love to see her get voted out. Until then, I don't generally favor vandalism of any sort, and I will not audibly approve of even this vandalism, but Brett, any thoughts?
You know, I had thoughts, and then I watched Marjorie Taylor Greene explain her counter vandalism story, and it made me that much dumber. I don't really have any more thoughts to share.
Do you award her no points? And may God have mercy on her soul.
May God
anyway,
mercy.
With all it's that so said, stupid. Thank you to those of you watching on our linear platforms. It's been great having you here. Those of you on Twitch and on YouTube and our members app, we got way more planned, including the garbage people of the week. So we're gonna take a couple minute break, but don't go anywhere because Brett and I will be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.